upon realizing that his tefillos on behalf of finding a suitable wife for Yitzchak were answered. So Eliezer presents Rivka with various types of jewelry, each type an allusion or a remez to what the future holds for her descendants. Among the types of jewelry that he gave her were two bracelets, shnei tzmidim. And Rashi understands that the two bracelets correspond in his allusion to the two luchos that Rivka's children, her offspring, will accept. Rashi adds on one word when he's describing the luchos, and that's shnei luchos mitzumados, two paired luchos. What does Rashi mean? What's the allusion? What's Eliezer trying to tell Rivka by giving him something that, giving her something that's symbolic of two paired luchos? So the Bir Yosef offers a very beautiful pshat. We know that the luchos, there were two tablets, and the Aseres HaDibros were split up into two groups. On one tablet, there were five mitzvos dealing with Bein Adam Lamakom, and on the other tablet, there were five mitzvos dealing, five dibros dealing with Bein Adam Lachavero. The Torah, when it describes the luchos in Parshas Kisiso, luchos even, tablets of stone, so luchos is written in singular, as if the word could be pronounced luchas even, a tablet of stone. And Rashi comments that it's to teach you that shtei and shovels, they were both equal. What does Rashi mean the two tablets were equal? He's referring to the sides. So the Bir Yosef explains, no. Rashi's telling us something very important, that the two tablets were equal, that we can't accept only the Bein Adam Lachavero without the Bein Adam Lamakom, and we can't accept the, or we can't accept the Bein Adam Lamakom without the Bein Adam Lachavero. It's a unit. They go together. If a person just accepts the Bein Adam Lamakom without the Bein Adam Lachavero, then there's something very lacking in his Yirah Shemayim. And vice versa, if the Bein Adam Lachaveir was not rooted in Yirah Shemayim, then a person doesn't have a perfect sense of how to conduct himself with his fellow man. In addition, well, as we're going to see, the Bein Adam Lachaveir has a very subtle impact, very subtle influence on the Bein Adam Lamakom. And this is what Eliezer was telling Rivka. Rivka, your chesed is tremendous. It's off the charts. But you haven't made it yet. You're missing something. You're not complete. You haven't achieved shlemus until you have the Bein Adam Lamakom, which, God willing, you'll learn when you marry into Avram's family. That being said, so the question has to be raised, why would, if it's a path, if they go together, it's one unit, the Bein Adam Lachaveiro goes together with the Bein Adam Lamakom. So why is it that the sole criterion for finding a wife for Yitzchak was chesed, was Bein Adam Lachaveiro? Why wasn't there any measure of her emuna or Yirah Shemayim? So putting that question aside for a moment, I think the answer lies in understanding what Eliezer Eved Avram was all about. Who was he? What was he like? So we know from last week's Parsha, the Torah talks about Eliezer being Damesek Eliezer. Rashi comments, gives three pshatim, two of the pshatim. One of them is, Sheradaf Malach, on the Malachim, he pursued the Malachim until Damesek. Meaning he fought Avram's battles. The other pshat Rashi says in Damesek Eliezer, he was dola umashke mitoros rabo lacherim, that he helped Avram, assisted Avram in his life's mission of bringing people closer to Emuna in the Borei Olam. Our parsha describes Eliezer as a kan beiso hamosha b'chol ashelo. He was totally in, Avram totally trusted him to take care of his whole household. And Chazal also tell us how Moshe b'chol ashelo, he had total control over his Yetzer Hara. Eliezer had a pretty good idea about what Avraham Avinu was all about and what he stood for. and had a pretty good idea what he was looking for in a wife for Yitzchak. And yet, when Eliezer suggests to Avram that maybe, my daughter is good for Yitzchak, Avram tells him, it's not going to go. Because my son is blessed, and you're cursed. And someone who's blessed can't marry someone who's cursed. Now stop for a moment. Just put yourself in Eliezer's shoes. You sacrifice, put your life on the line for your master. You're a loyal disciple. He trusts you with his whole household. And you're told that you're cursed. How is Eliezer supposed to feel? That must have been extremely devastating to him. And yet, what's unbelievable, Eliezer reacts in what appears to be a superhuman way. A way that's beyond us, a way that we would expect of a Gadol Hador, or a tzaddik, or somebody who really perfected his midos. How does he react? He goes to, after he finds Rivka, he tells Lavan, "Va'ekod v'shtachav el Hashem, I bow down to Hashem in thanksgiving. Va'avorech es Hashem Elokei Adoni Avram. And I said, Shira. I said, Shevach, I praise the Borei Olam. Listen to what he says. Asher hinchani biderech emes, who led me on the true way, that I found the true wife for Rivka without the slightest shred of disappointment." Now, I'll just give you a mashal. I mean, you could imagine if your team was involved in playoffs, a championship, playoffs for the league, and they lost. And they lost by a few points. And I would imagine that the members of the team here would be very disappointed. Imagine if one member of your team decided to go up to the opposing team to congratulate them. But not only did he congratulate them, he tells them, you know, you guys really deserved it. You're the best players in the league. We're not good. And I'm so happy for you that you won. And I don't think he'd be in school the next day, probably wouldn't survive the bus ride home. Yet Eliezer says, Shira to the Borei Olam, Asher hinchani biderech emes. I found he led me on the true way without any shred, the slightest shred of disappointment that it couldn't be his daughter. Where's it coming from? So I think the answer is simply in three words that Eliezer says. When he introduces himself to Lavan, he doesn't even say his name. He says three words. Eved Avraham Anochi. And the Anochi, the I, comes last. Eved Avraham. I'm an Eved to Avraham. And as a loyal servant, I have one purpose in life. And I'm only one concern in life. To do the Ratzon, to do what my master wants. And if my master says no, then I accept it fully with a sense that I'm fulfilling my purpose in life. I accept it besimcha and belev of shalem. And that's how Eliezer was able to say, Avarech es Hashem asher hinchani biderech emes, without the slightest feeling of disappointment or regret. And it was this quality of being an Eved that I think Avram Avinu was looking for in a wife for Yitzchak. It wasn't coincidental that he picked Eliezer Avram, his Eved, who had a pretty good idea of what an Eved means, to go look for a wife for Yitzchak. Not to be an Eved to Avram, not to be an Eved for Yitzchak, but to be an Eved to the Borei Olam, where the sole concern of such a person, the sole concern of his wife, her guiding, the guiding force in her life, should be the Ratzon of the Borei Olam, just to fulfill, to do what God wants me to do. That's the sole purpose of the person he was looking for. You know, we live in two worlds. There's our world, and there's Olam HaShah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we daven, we learn, we do mitzvahs, we're in God's world. But sometimes, when we have a tendency to leave God's world and go into our own world. For an Eved Hashem, the only world that exists is Olam HaShah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a short story, a legend, that during the Civil War, so the general there, Ulysses S. Grant, and Lincoln were planning a battle. And a lot hinged on the outcome of the battle, the major battle in the Civil War. And after the plans were formalized, so Grant turns to Lincoln and says, "You know, Mr. President, I hope tomorrow God's going to be on our side and not the side of the South." And Lincoln said back to him, "My dear General, the issue is not whether God's going to be on our side, but whether we're on God's side." And that's what an Eved Hashem is all about. That's all that exists for him, is to be on God's side. To be able to put whatever conflicting desires or passions that a person has, to put them aside and be totally devoted to doing the Ratzon of Hashem and to be on God's side. But how do you measure that? How are they going to be able to figure out whether Rivka is a candidate to be an Eved Hashem? The answer is Gemilas Chesed. Look what she did. She gave Eliezer to drink. She gave 10 camels to drink. Now, do you know how much water a camel drinks? Those humps on a camel contain water. That's a lot of trips back to the well. And he didn't lift a finger to help her. She's running back and forth, giving water to him, water to the camels. He didn't lift a finger to help her. Nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but if that were me, after maybe getting one bucket of water, I probably would have thrown the bucket with the water in his face. It's a tremendous chutzpah. You can't lift a finger to help me. And yet that was not Rivka's reaction. Pasuk keeps on saying, Vatarit, she was running, Vatamar, she was hurrying. She was so focused on somebody else's needs, on helping somebody else out, even if the person didn't deserve it, that she ignored her own personal feelings. Such a person who could put somebody else's needs before her own is a prime candidate to become an Eved Hashem, to put what the Borei Olam wants before your own needs. It's a very lofty concept to be an Eved Hashem. So how do we get there? Sounds like a very hard, tough job. But I think Rabbi Yisrael Salanter saves the day. The Abbas de Rabbi Nassim tells the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, how we think for the first 40 years of his life, He didn't learn a word. Walks by a brook one day, sees water pounding against the rock. The rock has a hole in it, an indentation in it. It's cracked. And he says, if water could do that to something as hard as a rock, Kal v'chomer divrei Torah could do that to my heart. And then he went off to learn. He became Rabbi Akiva. But Rishon Salanter explains it really didn't happen like that. Rabbi Akiva did learn for the first 40 years of his life. But he had a problem. He didn't feel a connection to his learning. He didn't feel his learning was having an effect on him. This was for 40 years, going on for 40 years. And he had an insight, a moment of clarity when he passed by the brook. And it wasn't coincidental that he had the moment of clarity. It was all part of Siyata Dishmaya. And he looked at the water pounding away at the rock, and he saw the indentation in the rock, and he thought to himself, which droplet of water created the indentation? The 500,000th, the millionth, the 1.5 millionth drop? And no, the pshat is all the little droplets collectively, the cumulative effect of all the little droplets of water had an effect on the rock. That being the case, the same thing is with my learning. So I don't feel connected after all this time of learning. But if I keep at it, the cumulative effect of all the drops of learning that I do will eventually have an effect. And we know what happened. The rest is history, as they say. We know what happened, what Rabbi Akiva became. I think it's the same way on our road to becoming an Eved Hashem. It's through small droplets of chesed, putting the other person first, even when he doesn't deserve it. And he probably doesn't deserve it. If you think he doesn't deserve it, he probably doesn't deserve it. But you do the chesed anyway, you put him first. Small acts of putting the Borei Olam first, whether it means saying an Amen Yeshmei Rabbah with Kavana, coming to Minyan when you're dead tired, making a bracha with Kavana, or trying to learn an extra 5 minutes, whatever it is, all the small droplets of Chesed and the small droplets of Bein Adam Lamakom, they all have an effect. The Kutzker says in Kriya Shema, "Bahayu Advarim Ma'el Asher Anolchim Etzavavecha Hayom Aluvavecha," that the Divrei Torah, the words of Torah, should be on your heart. And he asks, "What does it mean on your heart? Divrei Torah should be in your heart." And the answer is, it's very hard to get Torah in your heart, but you have to put them on your heart. Put them on your heart in enough droplets, enough small acts of Chesed, small acts of Bein Adam Lamakom. Eventually it gets in your heart. In the davening on the Yomim Noraim, so we daven very hard for the time, for the moment in world history and in our own personal lives. That the whole world should be united, us included, Lasos Ritzoncha, to do your will, Borei Olam, Belev of Shalom, with a whole heart. What does it mean with a whole heart? It means when a person reaches a point when he recognizes that all there is, all that exists, is Olamo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world of the Borei Olam. All that exists is God's side. And that's the only thing that's important in my life, is being the Kayim, the Ratzon of Hashem. And it doesn't matter what I am, doctor, lawyer, stockbroker, whatever it is. I'm guided by one purpose, to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, or the way Rabbi Snow put it so beautifully a couple of weeks ago, to make God smile. That's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. We say, Kemoshi Adano Hashem Elokeinu Shashaltam Lefanecha, we know. In our minds, in a quiet moment, if we think, we know that that's where we should be. But sometimes, the Bali Musar say, the distance from one's mind to one's heart is a very long distance. And it could take sometimes 40 years to traverse the distance. But with enough small droplets of chesed, small droplets of Bein Adam Lamakom, it's possible to achieve it and to really reach the moment, hopefully sooner than later, of Lasos Ritzon Chabalev of Shalem. Have a good Shabbos.